headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, it's the Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. We help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Dr. John Deloney, number one best-selling author, host of the Dr. John Deloney Show, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Lindsay's with us in Columbia, South Carolina. Hi, Lindsay. How are you?
Hey, Dave. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Better than we deserve. What's up in your world?
Yeah, so I just recently got engaged, and my fiance and I have been following your baby steps for a few years now. We are debt-free. So now we are now planning and budgeting for the wedding, which we will be able to cash flow.
Phenomenal.
But I am finding myself having a lot of guilt over spending the money on the wedding. We are both anticipating we are going to need new cars soon. We're at the phase of our life where we'd like to start saving for a down payment. I don't want to gyp myself of the wedding that I want. But I am having shame about wanting to spend so much money.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be shameful or guilt-inducing unless it is too much money. And the way we, how do we say too much money? It's in relative terms to your situation. Okay, if you make $2 million a year and you want to spend $50,000 on a wedding, that's not too much. If you make $40,000 a year and you want to spend $50,000 on a wedding, you're crazy! So what is it you want to spend on the wedding?
I think it's going to be about $25,000 to $30,000 tops.
Nice wedding. And what is your income?
Household income is probably about $90,000.
Well, there's not a household yet, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, but yeah, that would be the numbers we're dealing with anyway. So, well, the average household income in America right now is about $70,000, and the average wedding is about $25,000.
Okay.
Okay. Now, so that's the average, but we do want to keep in mind that normal is broke, so we don't necessarily want to aim at average, but the point of that is you're not completely out of control, but now you start to make value judgments and go, every $5,000 I cut this accelerates the other goals.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the trade-off that you're going to make the rest of your life. If I spend money on A, I don't have it for B. It's called opportunity cost.
And that's what I'm struggling with.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to have the wedding and so then
what
right
I,
after
what I
the
want
wedding,
you to do is set a number, stick to that number, and never struggle again.
Okay.
Now, you should, I do want some of this negative emotion to keep you from overspending your budget.
Mm-hmm.
And so what would I do if I woke up in your shoes? I would probably say, you know, I just don't feel okay about 25. Because you're not feeling okay about it, by the way. I'm kind of keying off of that, okay? Mm-hmm. It wasn't like you're going, this is, because let me just tell you, the difference in a $20,000 wedding and $25,000 wedding, no one that visits will know.
That's a napkin arrangement.
Yeah. That's the chairs you chose for the reception, you know? I mean, oh my God. So, and then when you start laying out the actual wedding budget, you know, so you put a big number on it, and then you say, based on that, I'm going to spend X on the videos and pictures. I'm going to spend Y on the dress. I'm going to spend Z on the reception. I'm going to, you know, and every one of the band, the DJ, the preacher, the whatever, and you just line item this out like it's a project, because I'm sorry, darling, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you stick to that. You say, okay, I've got this much budgeted for catering. And they go, well, you can't get the sushi if you do that. Well, then we won't be having sushi, darling. So this, no is a possible answer to some of these questions. And so,
right.
But the thing that will give you great peace and no guilt is if you'll set a number, detail it out, and then stick to it, you'll never think about it again. But if it's constantly floating around and you feel like then I can buy happiness or I can buy joy for $3,000 more, you're not going to find it there. It's not there. And it is it's a wonderful thing to have big, we have big parties. We're Ramses, man. We like to party. All of our weddings were huge. We love big weddings and everybody dancing and good food. And man, it's a fun time. And it is one day and it's gone. It is. It does evaporate, but so is travel, or so is other things we spend money on. So,
right.
But there is you do know there is no correlation between the size of the wedding budget and the success of the marriage, though, right?
Yes.
If anything, there might be a negative correlation.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm just glad we're not going into debt for it, but I do have that guilt.
You don't have to say I'm not glad. I chose not to go into debt for it.
Mm-hmm.
You're like being a grown-up and stuff here.
Is the person you're about to marry, are they guilt-tripping you? Or saying,
no,
man, if we weren't doing a wedding like this, like, where's this guilt coming from?
Me. I guess because we have worked so hard the last few years to pay off our debt, and now we're finally in a really good financial spot.
So are you kind of a tightwad and you have trouble enjoying money?
Yes. I'm worried that after the wedding, our cars are going to go and we're going to need.
They are.
To
they
buy
are. 100% chance.
And you on the honeymoon, when I'm going
to
fry.
In 15 years, it'll be a funny footnote to a great wedding.
Yeah.
Let this be a great experience for you. You worked so hard so that you could honor this.
I like that.
This cool ceremony, right? That's why you're going to work so hard after this wedding. You're going to get new cars so that you don't end up on the side of the road. You're going to work really hard to pay off your house so that you can give recklessly to people in your community. You're going to do these things so that, right? And y'all have worked really hard to get right here.
I would challenge you to dial it down to 20.
Absolutely. 18.5. Come up with a number, yeah.
And then just lock it in. And go, based on that, I've got to do the dress this way. Based on that, I've got to do the catering this way. Based on that, I got to have friends go pick some daisies out of the farmer's field because we don't have money for a florist. Based on that, I don't know what it is. But, I mean, I've had folks on this team in the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, many, many, many of them have had some incredible weddings for under 10 grand.
Yeah.
But it involved friends pitching in. Mom's cooking stuff for the reception. I mean, it involved all kinds of different things you can do. You don't have to do that. You're not doing anything morally wrong or financially wrong if you just say the budget's 20 and we're going to hire it all out. That's okay. But my point is that you can have a really nice wedding for 20K.
And one thing that helps me in these moments of spend and feel guilty is if you had this $25,000 budget and you decide to roll it down to 18.5. Make sure you take that gap money and you apply it to one of these things on the back end. Like, I'm going to use this for a car. I'm going to use this for those things. And so you'll feel like you're getting ahead and you're getting this great wedding. But I'm like you, Dave. I've seen some pretty inventive and creative weddings over the last couple of years because of COVID. And they're awesome. And they're all still married. And they're not $100,000 in the hole.
No. You don't borrow for a wedding. No. But she's not doing that. She's what a great young lady. Very
incredible.
This is The Ramsey Show. John Deloney, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Parents, if you have school-age kids, the last thing you want is for them to be normal. You want them to be weird, like we teach around here. And that's why you've already got them listening to stuff like The Ramsey Show in the backseat of your car. You're raising next-gen financial peace smart kids, right? Hey, we're on board with this. So we've got tons of stuff to help you and even your kids' teachers in our back-to-school sale. My God, back-to-school is here. One of the biggest challenges teachers face is getting students to engage in a healthy classroom conversation. And that's why Dr. John Deloney, to my right, created classroom editions of his Questions for Humans conversation starters for elementary, middle, and high school kids. Help them build lifelong friendships through real in-person conversations. At home, keep the fun and learning going with the popular kids books. The Adventure Pack is a family favorite. includes the Storytime Collection, Financial Peace Junior, the Smart Saver Bank, all for teaching kids how to handle money. If there's a teacher in your life or your kid's life, pick them up one of the Questions for Humans classroom editions as a gift for them. Shop the back-to-school sale at RamseySolutions.com. John, I did not know you did. I probably knew it, but I forgot it. Classroom editions.
Yeah, for elementary, middle school, and high school classrooms. For teachers.
What does the elementary conversation starter sound like?
Exactly, is a conversation that would happen around a lunch table here at work. The same. Conversation with me, you, and George on a boat trying to ski. It's very similar.
I'll just leave it at that. Randy's in Washington, D.C. Hey, Randy, what's up?
I'm doing well, Dave. How are you?
Better than I deserve. How can we help?
Well, gentlemen, I want to say thank you for accepting my call. My wife and I are pretty much, and I would say, a good problem to have. So I'm active duty military. We just sold our home at the end of June. We ended up with $184,000 in equity, which we used to pay off the rest of our debt. Left us with about $130,000 left over. So we maxed out the emergency fund. I have increased my contribution to my TSP to 15%, like I'm supposed to in baby step four. The problem I have is I'm up for a promotion this year, which is about a $450 pay increase per month. And what I don't know right now is whether I should increase my, just basically do the percentage difference and contribute that to my TSP till I can retire from it, or use it for a separate account.
Okay, cool. I mean, you can dump it into the TSP if you want. You could dump it into a Roth IRA if you want. Are you in the Roth TSP? You need to be.
I am. So I'm.
And is C plan 80% and 20I, 20S?
So I'm at 60C, 20S, and 20I.
That's good. That's the mix we teach. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so you're already on track with all that. Yeah, I mean, you're in a baby step seven situation until you repurchase a home. Are you stable in terms of your location? Are you going to buy again, or are you just waiting to quit for the military, quit moving you around before you buy again?
So right now we're going to wait until I'm ready to retire to purchase our forever home. That's actually like a second part to the question. So the extra
when will you be retiring?
In about 10 years.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you need to be dumping the rest of that with a SmartVestor Pro then and some mutual funds so it will keep up with the increase in value in real estate during that time. You don't want it sitting there making nothing and still, because $184,000 10 years from now won't buy what $184,000 will buy now. So that's the thing. So, hey, man, thanks for your service. But, yeah, load that TSP up, load your Roth IRAs up, and then load your house fund up, and that's really all you got left to do. You're just making money and doing good work.
Real quick, walk me through a TSP, Dave.
What now?
A TSP? Walk me through that.
What does it what?
A TSP.
What are you asking about it?
Walk me through. What is
that? Oh, walk you through that. Oh, okay. It's the Thrift Savings Plan.
Okay.
It's 401k for federal government employees, basically.
Excellent. Okay.
And, but they have certain options, and they have initials on them. The C is the common stock. The S is the small company. The I is the international. That's the three we recommend. Heavy in the C, because the C is the highest performing of all their
common stock with
options.
It's
pretty much like an index fund.
Yeah.
It operates like an S&P 500 index fund. So the TSP does pretty well. Mm-hmm. And they just recently have started offering it as a Roth option. And so federal employees of any kind, including military, have TSP. So postal Excellent. Workers, that kind of stuff, you'll see it there all the time. Guys, I want to I'm not going to pick on you about this out there. And you can use the word, and I won't give you a hard time. But I'm going to say this really because I appreciate the last caller a bunch, but there is no such thing as a forever home except heaven.
I agree.
Okay. This idea that you're going to buy a home, and I have the benefit that's going to last forever. Well, everything freaking changes. And so Sharon and I haven't moved a lot. We moved every 13 to 15 years, roughly, with rare exceptions. A couple times we stayed 2 years in one place. But, I mean, our homes that we've kept a long time. But they survived that stage of life. And then when we went to another stage of life, that was another stage of life. And then when we did this, is another stage of life. And so I learned this. I was selling houses, custom-made homes, for a custom home builder when I was 22 years old, and people would come in to build their dream home. And it was kind of it was what people used to say instead of saying forever home, right? It's, I'm going to build my dream home. And it was so disturbing that during the 14 or 15 months that we built their dream home, that their dream changed.
That's right.
While they were, their dream changed while within that 1 year period of time. And so by the time they moved in, it was no longer their dream.
Yeah.
And it was dissatisfying. So there's just, forever home is such a millennial thing to say. Mm. Just don't say that. Because it's not true.
Okay? Well, it's this idea
you're not going to be there forever.
It's the idea
you're moving.
I'm going to get somewhere, and then everything will be. That's just not how life works.
Well, there's like you can figure out one set of bricks and mortar, one bedroom arrangement, one great room kitchen arrangement, and you know, honestly, kitchens and living spaces are so much better than they were 25 years ago.
Right.
The designs of homes across America are just way better. You know, it's so much more functional and livable and enjoyable, and we live our lives differently now than we did in those days. But the little house I grew up in was like 1,100 square feet, and it was the two-in-a-den, which is the bedroom that wasn't sure what it was.
That's right, yep.
It didn't know if it identified as a den or a bedroom. And so
depends on how many kids are there as to what
yeah,
it's used for.
And so, yeah, and a bath and a half,
mm-hmm.
and hollow core doors. You could hear everything through the whole house. It was gross. And
but when you slam them, they never had the effect you wanted.
If you slammed them hard enough, they just kind of came off in your hand like balsa right. wood or something. But yeah, but the kitchen in that house that I grew up in, my childhood was in,
yeah.
it was perfect for that. But it was not a forever kitchen.
Right.
It was in comparison to today, it was fine for then. But in comparison, so no, you're not going to find a forever home.
Here's what I've come to believe with when it comes to forever home stuff, and even less than forever home for me. I keep thinking, all right, when I get this house paid off, I'm going to do this with the deck. I'm going to do this out there with the driveway. I'm going to build a retaining wall over here. And what I have found is these are all ways to distract me from living contently right now. I keep thinking down the road, things will be good. Down the road, I'll finally get this thing. Down the road. And if I can learn to be content where I'm at, that changes it changes the tenor of my life moving forward.
But but you're never going to get a nice enough, big enough, great enough home to live there forever because something's going to change.
Or you're going to lose your job, or mom's going to get sick, or whatever.
And by the way, I built this monstrosity, huge home. It was everything that we wanted. And we fully intended to live there the rest of our lives because we were old when we built it already, you know. And so, but we lived there 14 years, and we went, you know what? We're selling it. And it's a fabulous, world-class house, you know. But we sold it.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a little house, a lot smaller now, and we like it a lot. It's okay. I mean, gosh, it's just not that big a deal. You know, you're not going to, you cannot build something that will change as your life changes.
Yes. Build forever relationships, not forever homes.
Ooh, that sounds like a millennialist, whatever those people's name is, line. This is The Ramsey Show. Minimalists. Dr. John Deloney, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today in the lobby of Ramsey Solutions on the debt-free stage. Joseph and Victoria are with us. Welcome to Nashville, guys.
Thank you.
Where do you guys live?
We live in Minnesota. We are about 45 minutes south of Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
Fun. Welcome to Nashville.
Thanks.
And all the way to Nashville to do a debt-free scream. How much have you paid off?
We are at $76,809.
I love it. And how long did this take you?
11 months.
Wow. And your range of income during that time?
We started right around 60 a year, and we ended at 145.
Nice jump in 1 year. Did somebody go to work that wasn't working?
I did.
What do you do for a living, guys?
I actually drive school bus.
Okay.
Which is super fun. So.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm a truck driver.
Oh, a couple of drivers.
Yeah.
There.
You got it.
Did you drive from Minneapolis?
No,
we flew.
Oh, yeah.
You drive for a living. You want to
No,
you
we have five kids, so.
Oh, yeah. I would love to hear your dinner conversations like about the new V6 and the...
Yeah, they get interesting.
Tire
to say
changes,
the least.
And that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Right. All right, guys. What kind of debt was the $77,000?
It was student loans for a little bit on my part. Then we had a camper, a car, and then a couple other random debts that we had to pay off. So just multitude of things.
What's the biggest thing you sold?
Nothing.
Yeah, we really didn't have to sell anything.
Okay, so you just busted into it.
Yep.
And you had some money in savings you threw at it?
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
How much?
I would say $3,000 to $5,000.
Not much. Okay. Nope. So basically, you going to work and you threw it all on there, huh?
Yep. Yeah. That was the main reason I started working, was to pay off the debt. And then down the road, now it's fun money.
I was working about 90
whatever.
Hours a week.
Ooh.
Just doing 80 truck driving, and then I would do DoorDash on the side.
Wow. You guys are kicking it. Okay. So you kicked it all the way from 60 to 145, and that enables you in 11 months to pay off 77.
Yep.
You got it.
Wow. So what happened lit you on fire, man? Y'all went off like fireworks.
Honestly, it's pretty wild story. I was actually debating on whether I should commit suicide or not. And I wanted my family to be secure when I was gone. And then just listening to your show and hearing the Bible verses every day, I came home and talked to Tori and decided we should probably get into a church. We found River Valley up in the Twin Cities and gave our life to Jesus Christ, got baptized October 31st, which is kind of a joke and a half because our favorite holiday was Halloween for a long time. And just changed our life ever since.
Yep.
Amazing.
Wow.
So was the financial pressure part of that or just other mental issues?
I'm a disabled veteran.
Mm-hmm.
So I deal with PTSD and some traumatic brain injury from some of that. So.
Wow.
What's your healing journey been like?
It's been a process. I got into a big, good group of guys at church, some men's leadership courses. Starting counseling with the VA coming up on August 1st. So
very good.
Congrats, man.
Very good.
It's awesome,
man. I'm so proud of you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, the money is a big deal, paying off $77,000 in 11 months.
Yeah.
But you guys changed your whole lives.
We did.
And saved your life.
Yeah.
In the process. And the money was just a little part of that journey.
Right.
But I started out listening to this podcast, or this radio show.
That's where it started,
So talk to us about when he came and sat down, and as his wife, I've sat with a bunch of folks in your situation, and your wife, you knew for a long time there's a gap here.
Oh, absolutely.
But then when he sits down and says, here's how big that gap really is, that's a lot, right?
Yeah, and it was an eye-opener.
Yeah, walk us through your next steps.
It was essentially just trying to batten down the hatches. So he said, we have to pay off this amount of money. We have to work with this amount of money. Yeah. So we went from having a grocery budget with five kids of, $150, $200 a week down to $75 to $100 a week. So it was difficult, but we managed to do it, cutting down our cell phones, cutting cable, cutting everything we possibly could to fit everything in this budget while paying off as much as we could. So it was a huge jump, but it was definitely doable.
That's amazing.
I want to make sure I get the order of the occurrences. So you started listening to the show.
Correct.
Yep.
Then you started attending church.
Correct.
Yep.
And then you started working on the debt.
Yep. We had to get our ducks in a row.
Yeah.
In a way, I started listening to the show, we started working on the debt, and then after a while of that, we plugged into church.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay. So it was kind of all mixed in together.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I couldn't figure the timeline. Okay. Wow. It's powerful. Sounds like a good church.
It's a very good church. It's amazing.
River Valley is definitely a blessing to the Twin Cities.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you are a blessing to the Twin Cities, my man.
He absolutely is.
There's a lot of men right now who are sitting down, driving a truck, mowing their yard with their headphones in, listening to this conversation, and they have begun to tell themselves, the people around me would be better if I wasn't here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Too many men tell themselves that. And you had the courage to say something out loud, and now you're able to inspire millions of people because of your courage and bravery, and the journey's still going, and you're still meeting with men, and you're still going to counseling. Like, man, I was in honor of your service as a veteran. I am equally, if not more, in honor of your service as a civilian, saying, here's who I'm going to be, and this is what this looks like, man. That's bravery and courage, and I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm glad to know there's men like you in our community.
Amen.
It's awesome. And women who will batten down the hatches,
right? Go drive a school
bus
to get us out of debt.
That's right, man. There's a couple of rock stars up there. Yeah. Wow.
You guys are amazing.
B, beautiful.
You're amazing. You. Mm-hmm. You have really become heroes and changed your lives. Mm-hmm. I'm so proud of you. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very well done. What do you tell people the key to getting out of debt is?
You just got to start.
Go drive a school bus.
Yeah, go drive a school bus. It's actually really fun.
I know. I'm not putting it down.
A lot of people do. They think, how do you do that? I'm like, you just do it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Well, you like people and kids.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I love kids.
Yeah. I had a school bus driver that hated people and kids. Yeah.
There's a few of them. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
That was the 1960s and 70s where they had a cigarette hanging out of their mouth driving, right? It's like, you people, shut up back there. You know, that kind of thing, right?
So. Hey, but a good bus driver will spot those two kids that get on the bus that have nobody, and you will be their light for their whole. Yep. Like, that's a
I
gift
have a
too.
Few of them like that.
Yes, you do. That's awesome. Good for you guys.
Stopping the, who was it the other day? Tell me about the bullying on the school bus. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Way to go, you guys. So what do you tell people the key to getting out of debt is?
You just got to start.
Start.
You got to start.
You got to start.
Got to start somewhere.
Starts in your head, and then through the process, it moves to your heart. It goes to an everything I got mentality to a whatever it takes mentality.
Yeah.
So with the heart journey you've been on, suicide, Jesus, getting out of debt, a lot of transformation in your heart in a short period of time. Talk about how that feels, because I mean, you did a complete double backflip here, man.
You know, it's calming. You know, it's there's nothing to worry about. It's everything's already taken care of. You just got to go out and make it happen.
Right.
There's a word we use around here called peace.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the
Absolutely.
Day we paid off our last debt, I was like, oh, my God.
Financial peace university, yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it really is.
Very cool. Well, we've got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you. That's the next chapter in your story. I want to hear back from you and hear how your journey's going.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Y'all write in and tell us an email. We'll read it and keep everybody up to date. You guys are very, very impressive. You have come a very long way in a lot of areas in a very short period of time.
Right.
Your income, your debt, your spiritual walk, your mental health, everything is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So, got a copy of Baby Steps Millionaires for you, Total Money Makeover for you. Give that to somebody, get them started. Financial Peace University, a one-year membership to that, get you going in that. And that's got the new videos in it that include Dr. Deloney and George Campbell and Rachel Cruz and me. And, all right, let's bring the kiddos up. You said there's five of them. What are their names and ages?
We have Mason, who's 16, mm-hmm. Madison and Michaela, who are 13, mm-hmm. Maya is 6, mm-hmm. and Maverick is 3.
All right. Wow. Lots of M's.
They're all M&Ms.
They're a handful of M&Ms.
Can't have just one. Kicker.
I love it. Very cool. Well done. Have they been practicing a debt-free scream?
Yes.
Absolutely.
So the whole gang knows how to do this because they know their family tree was changed.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're so proud of you, and thank you for your service, and we're proud of you guys being heroes. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
Ready? 3, 2, 1.
We're debt-free! Yeah! Man, oh man, oh man.
Dave, I've suddenly got allergies in my eyes.
This is The Ramsey Show. John Deloney, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Chad is in Augusta, Georgia. Hi, Chad. How are you?
Good, sir. How y'all doing?
Better than we deserve, man. What's up?
Oh, yeah. I was just calling in. I have a mortgage just about ready to pay it all.
Good.
But I'm a real estate agent, and you know, with a real estate agent, you got to kind of go get it. And I love going to get it, but it's a big chunk, and I'm just like, I think I'm there, but I'm looking for, I guess, maybe a final confirmation with retirement that I have, what's in place to pay it off. I've been a fan of yours for probably 20 years, and I've hit bumps along the way to get my house paid off, and now I'm out of position.
So what do you owe on it?
Oh, 95.
How much cash do you have?
do a lesson.
Good Lord. Pay it off today.
Pay it off. What are you doing?
Pay it off today. You don't need to think about
then
this. You knew what I was going to say. Jacob's in Fort Worth. Hey, Jacob, welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hot dog, is this really happening?
It's happening. What's up?
Hey, so my in-laws bought a house in 2018 for $280,000, and they're offering to sell it to us now for what they paid for it then. And since it's a non-arm's length purchase, we were wondering who we need to hire to help us make that happen.
Okay, so they're selling you the house at a below market price.
Yes.
And are you getting a mortgage?
Yeah, we were also wondering what would be the best way to pay for it.
And do you have a down payment in cash?
Not yet. We're moving in. Their tenants just moved out. We're planning to rent for 6 months to a year to build up a down payment.
Okay. Work with a mortgage company to establish what you've got to do that so that you do that properly.
Okay.
And then the mortgage company will require a formal closing with an appraisal, survey, title insurance, all the things that you've got to do anyway. The title company that the mortgage company can hook you up with to do the closing can also then simply prepare the deed.
Okay.
The vast majority of the paperwork done at that closing will be around the mortgage.
All right.
But you just need a deed in addition to that. A warranty deed in most states is what it will be. And but this is arm's length. There's no weird family crap. Like, you can't figure out, you're not allowed to buy Christmas presents for 5 years because you bought this from them or something. They don't have any strings attached, right?
Yeah, no strings attached.
Real healthy people mentally.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So,
just trying to help us out.
Yeah, and they're not going to like say you shouldn't have bought that car.
No.
We don't like what you did with the flooring.
I don't think so. No.
Okay, good.
No.
All right. Just checking because you know this is a dangerous thing. So
Sometimes that discounted price comes out of your backside instead of your wallet.
Yeah. Well, it comes out of your it comes out of
your soul.
Exactly, and affects your relationship with their daughter, your wife, and so on. So, yeah, just want to make sure all that, if that's all good, but the transaction is fairly simple. While you're getting, I will tell you to get a title policy. The mortgage company will require to get you to get a mortgage title policy that usually in most states you can get what's called a simultaneous issue, and you get an owner's title policy as well while you're at it. The title company, in order to execute on the mortgage, probably will require a sales contract be developed, but they probably have a form you can just fill out and do that.
Okay.
So it's really most of the detail crap will be handled by the mortgage company and their and the title company that they recommend to get everything done. You'll add to that probably a sales contract, an owner's title policy, and which would probably be $50 or $100 or something, and then you'll add to that the deed, and in most states that's called a warranty deed. I don't know what it is in Texas, but I imagine it is. So that's the actual title to the property, and then the title company will charge a closing fee and the recording fee to record the mortgage or the deed of trust, depending on the state. And then they will also can record that warranty deed to you. The warranty deed is of no value until you record it at the courthouse, and that's every state. Right. And so if you're walking around with a deed to your house in your pocket, you don't own the house yet, unless or until it has been recorded at your local courthouse. The recording of the deed at the courthouse is how ownership is established and transferred. So that's where you want to make sure that goes through. But that's a fairly basic thing that any title company doing the mortgage will help you do and probably automatically tell you everything that they're doing and all that. It's most title companies in America do a really, really good job, or closing attorneys, or whoever's doing the real estate closing, which if it's a closing attorney, they probably sell title insurance. So it's all tied in together there. Very, very cool. Good situation.
Yeah, it's a great situation.
Kyle is with us. Kyle is in Chicago. Hey, Kyle, what's up?
Hey, Dave. I'm good. How are you?
Better than I deserve. How can I help?
Good. Hey, I got a job offer.
to increase just lateral move from two companies, but company A, I got a loan in my 401k, and I think that's going to hinder my move. I want to move because it's a substantial increase in pay, but I don't know what to do or how to make this happen.
How much is the 401k loan?
It's $15,000.
Okay. And what's the increase in pay?
About $100,000.
Lord, that's nice. Yes. What do you make now?
101.
And you're going to make 201?
About 200, yes. So yeah,
doing right what? What do you do for a living?
I'm an engineer.
Nice jump.
Well done, man.
Were you being underpaid before, or are they overpaying you?
Maybe a little bit of both. Maybe a little bit of both, I guess. You know.
Is there any signing bonus at all?
I could ask for one, and that's what I thought about doing, but I don't want to be hooked on that, you know, at the same
just
time.
Just tell them you got a $15,000 401k loan you need to clear. Can they give you that much of an advance and take it out of the next three checks?
Okay, that could work.
Yeah, and that just takes care of it. Because if you don't repay this loan in full within 60 days of leaving, it's considered an early withdrawal, and you're going to get hammered with taxes and penalties that are going to make you wish you had done something.
Okay.
Yeah, so you do need to take care of it. I, you know, you've already have one kind of debt. If you move it to a different kind of debt over to a credit union loan, that's okay. But my preference would be that the new employer somehow help you make this move. If I were bringing you on and I could advance you $15K against your next 3 months pay or whatever, or 4 months pay, and take it out of that where you could still eat during those months but still get my money back pretty quick as the employer, I would do that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, like I said, the increase in pay is definitely going to help me pay other debt off, but I just was worried about this initially.
Yeah, but probably not until you get this, unless they take this out of your future check because they advance it, it may take you, maybe your get out of debt plan starts after that's done,
because
right. You may need that, you may need to eat out.
But against 200 grand, 5,000 over 3 months, is that's not a big chunk.
Yeah, it should be okay.
Yeah.
Should be okay. It should be very, very doable. But yeah, sometimes you just say, look, we got a deal, but I have a problem. Can you help me solve this problem?
So as an employer, would you think less of me if I came to you with that challenge?
No. Okay. No. As long as you don't come in demanding and belligerent about it. Like, yeah. I got to have that. You know, but instead, you know, help me solve a problem.
Yep.
I'd love to help you solve a problem. You're a new team member. That's I'm bringing you on to, you know, I'd love to do that.
Yeah.
I don't have the money to move, so we pay relocation expenses. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's whatever. There's problems to be solved when you're hiring people sometimes, especially in this market where we've got almost no unemployment.
Yeah.
That they probably are real happy he's coming.
Well, clearly, they're doubling him up.
Yeah, clearly, they're adding 100 to what he was making, so they're pretty happy about it.
It was important to say, if they say no, go down to the local credit union, clear this thing, and get that thing
just go
out.
Get you, and then just put that in your debt snowball and knock it out.
That's right.
Yeah, that's simple. The good news is you got an extra $100K to knock out your debt snowball now.
Real quick.
Ding, ding, baby! This is The Ramsey Show.
Hey, it's John Deloney, co-host of The Ramsey Show. Did you know over 18 million people listen to The Ramsey Show every week? A lot of those people listen on one of our 600-plus radio stations across the country. To find a station near you, go to RamseySolutions.com/show.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. Ever wondered how to win in business and leadership? I'm George Camel, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear exceptional advice, origin stories, and practical strategies for success. These weekly conversations with America's brightest business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs will help you succeed in all areas of business and leadership. Listen to the Entree Leadership Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.